Hedda Hopper's Diary, the intimate, behind-the-scenes story of Hollywood's great stars, revealed by Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. This is Hedda Hopper. You know, with the possible exception of her nylon hose, the most precious possession of any girl is her diary. My last pair of nylons became a dust cloth some moons ago, and they stopped calling me a girl many, many moons before that. But they can't take my diary away from me. No, not in your tintype. That little old diary of mine goes back to the day when the motion picture industry was no bigger than a Brownie camera, and confidentially, when I thumbed through some of the more ancient pages, not a few of the entries amaze even me. But under the letter S, there's a sprinkling of notations which do not amaze me one bit, because they're about a kid named Stuart. Well, he was a kid when he first landed in my diary. He's Colonel James Stuart now, but to me he'll always be the most typical American boy. Let's take a look under S for Stuart in my diary and see what I have. Here it is, and look at the year, will you? 1930. In 1930, Jimmy was a young man about Princeton, and quite a campus cut-up he was, too. Oh, I don't mean with the young ladies who had that go-to-Princeton look in their eyes, but with the accordion. Yes, sir, Jimmy played the ivory wheezebox, the armchair piano, not good, mind you, but loud. Loud enough to attract the attention of the Princeton Triangle Club, the school's famous dramatic organization. Jimmy and his abdominal Steinway wheezed out of Princeton to Broadway, and I'll never forget the day I met him at Catherine Cornell's house. You see, you girls weren't the first to swoon over Stuart, but of course at my age I had a head start on you. Anyway, I was deeply impressed with his talent, and knowing Jimmy, you can understand that I was far more impressed with him than he was with himself. Such modesty and so polite! I remember thinking, you know, there's a lad who'd go into a museum and tip his hat to all the ladies' statues. Jimmy gave me that yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am treatment, and I said, young man, why don't you pawn that accordion and quit wasting your time in New York? You belong in Hollywood. You know, he was too polite to laugh in my face, though I could tell that he felt the New York humidity had me a little touched in the head. But I nagged away at him until we got results. The result being that the Mr. Smith who went to Washington packed up his spare toothbrush and moseyed out to Hollywood. And I don't believe that 4 years of war have dulled our memory of what happened when Jimmy Stuart hit his long, lanky stride in front of the magic lanterns. By the time the Japs made their great mistake at Pearl Harbor, Jimmy had some 80 million picture fans twisted right round his little finger. But he was training and itching to get all 10 fingers twisted around the stick of a B-17. He dropped out of sight in the USA and soon was putting a bomb sight over Germany. Month after month, he rolled up the missions, far beyond the number that permitted a pilot to take a breather and a furlough home to the safety and comfort in which civilian America spent this horrible war. Not Jimmy Stuart. He wouldn't come home till the job was done. And you want to know why? One reason is simply because he's Jimmy Stuart, a slender bulldog type of fellow who won't let go when he gets his teeth set in a worthwhile cause. Another reason is a memory of walking beside his father down the endless aisles of white crosses that the First World War planted among the poppies in Flanders fields. His dad had said that day, "Jimmy, I've got a lot of friends sleeping here. I hope their souls may always rest in peace, and that their sons, and you, my son, may never know another war." Yes, Jimmy Stuart wanted to help wipe out forever the forces of evil which made a hollow mockery out of his father's words. And last night, when I opened my diary to Jimmy Stuart's page, I made a final notation in these words: "This boy, Jimmy, and every boy like him, turned our war bonds into victory bonds."
Thank you, Hedda Hopper, for opening up your diary. Now, this is Lou Crosby saying victory bonds will bring our boys back sooner. Buy them now and keep them.